Thank you for joining us for episode 46 of Head Start, a weekly podcast to help Liberty's adult and student ministry life group leaders prepare for the upcoming lesson. Now, this week's podcast is slightly different than normal.
Slightly different than normal.
There's normally at this table four of us. Occasionally, yes, there will be three of us.
Sometimes.
And on a rare occasion, there will be two of us.
Like today.
And that's where we are today. There's been a last-minute adjustment, and Brian has said, you know what, I'll just step in there and cover this passage with moment's notice.
And it may come off as though I have chosen to tackle this passage with moment's notice. So we're going to find out.
You know, sickness and circumstances happen, and that's the situation that we're currently in. And I appreciate you, Brian, covering this passage as we continue in this sermon series, Chasing the Wind. So today specifically, we'll be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. I didn't count, but maybe I should have, how many times the word time is actually in this passage. There's a lot of time talking going on here.
A lot of times, yes, the word time is mentioned. There are 14 antitheses, right, back and forth. Okay. I don't know if that number is probably not going to be right. Maybe while I'm discussing the passage, Matt.
It is seven, and it'll be 14.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Mm-hmm.
But there's a prequel that's on the front end.
So anyway, we're going to figure it out, and it's going to be great. I am excited to walk through this passage. Matt, was there anything else, just before I cut you off and start diving in, was there anything else that you needed to say at the beginning here?
You know, No.
Sounds like no. I like it.
We're moving. Tim is on this day that we're recording. Kyle has not feeling this best, so that's where we are today.
Very good. Cool.
We'll step right into the passage.
Let's dive in. All right. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is probably, maybe it doesn't contain the most famous verses from Ecclesiastes, but as a whole, it is the most famous passage from Ecclesiastes. This is the one that begins with, there is a time or a season or an occasion for everything. And it's almost like, now, Ecclesiastes is a roller coaster. So you're going to go to the depths of despair, and then you're going to get a little tiny bit of encouragement, and then you're going to go back to despair, and then a glimpse of encouragement again. So it's almost like at the beginning of this chapter, Solomon does want to lighten the mood a little bit, and he writes this poem that really is uplifting, and it's encouraging because it is true to our experience of humans, and it makes sense out of the things that we experience. Hebrew wisdom literature often includes poetry. I had a professor in seminary who, you know, articulated for us that Hebrew poetry is not much like English poetry. So it's really not even helpful for us to compare. English poetry is a lot more concerned with things like meter and rhythm and time and rhyme. Mm-hmm. Hebrew poetry is more concerned with concept. And you'll see this happen a lot in the Bible, especially if you work through Proverbs, where the same thing is said twice. Okay. With slightly different words, right? And so that often occurs in Hebrew poetry. But the other thing that often occurs, among some others for sure, the other thing that often occurs is inverse statements, or what we have here in front of us for chapter 3, antitheses, where you say one thing and then you mention its opposite or its correlation kind of on the other side.
The
right?
Time to be born and a time to die.
That's exactly right.
And then
time to uproot. Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
And so that's the context. It makes this passage really, really simple to teach.
Sure.
And where this becomes really beautiful is that it doubly connects with your life every time a statement is made. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. When I look at Matt and I say, Matt, there's a time to give birth and there's a time to die. Mm-hmm. Matt knows that because, number one, he's been born.
Sure.
And he's also watched others be born. You know, he's got some children of his own, but he's also seen babies, you know, and knows how that process happens. But then he also knows that there's a time to die. Matt's not dead yet. However, Matt has known people who have passed.
There's the cycle.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what the author is doing. So by the end of verse 8, you really feel like you really feel strongly connected to what the author is trying to do. He has impacted your life at multiple points on both sides of the point.
So leaders, as you think about introducing this lesson, it's a really easy lesson to introduce, right? Because you can sit on this whole idea of time and managing your time, and you know, depending on the time of the year, especially like the beginning of the year, New Year's resolutions and things of that nature, you'll see lots of magazine articles, blogs, and things of that nature, telling us and teaching us and instructing us, giving us tips and tricks on how to manage our time and how to do that. And so on the front end of this lesson, one of the questions is what is your most common struggle against time? Mm. And I'm just talking about putting the ball on the tee. You know, as you step into this lesson, people will find it easy to have a conversation about, well, you know, their struggles in time. I am certain that every one of us at some point in the past have said, if only I could have one more hour.
Right.
Like, could we make this a 25-hour day,
yeah.
You know? So to have a conversation about time will be easy.
That's good. Real quick, let me zoom in on this word that our Bibles translate time or occasion or season. So right off the bat in verse 1, there is an occasion for everything. That's how the CSB puts it. The word that is used there is zaman. And zaman has to do with appointed time. So probably the best way to think about this as you're working through your Bible is that the festivals in Israelite worship happened not just at random time, which would be a different word, but at an appointed time. Like God sets this time and it stands, right? And so that's really, really important to remember, that as Solomon works through this passage, what he's going to remind us of is here at the bookends, right? At the beginning, there's an occasion for everything. There's an appointed time for everything. In other words, God is sovereign over the moments that we experience in life. Before you walk through them, know that God is sovereign over them. So he dives in. There is a time to give birth and a time to die. Again, we know that from experience. This is the cycle of life. Solomon has previously called it meaningless and futile and maddening or frustrating. But nevertheless, he recognizes that under God's appointed occasions, there's a time for every human to be born, to receive birth, and then a time for them to pass away and die. In the same way, we see that happen in botany as well, right? There's a time to plant. And then there's a time to pull the plants and uproot them from the ground, to remove them from their life source. And remember as well that while we're walking through this, there's a little bit of like the circle of life, you know, Lion King, if you will, sort of thing happening.
Sure.
That it's by uprooting the fruits and vegetables that we plant in the ground after they've had their time, right, to grow and then to produce. We pull them from the ground and oftentimes bring death to them in that way. And they provide for us what sustains us in this life. And then, of course, we sometimes have the opportunity to replant those things and see them grow again. This next one in verse 3 is interesting. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. The Old Testament does, well, first of all, we need to probably just say this. Our culture is a little squeamish about killing, about taking life, and for good reason. We have improved as the world, like speaking for the world in general here, we've improved as far as valuing human life. Mm. Now, there's nonsensical limits to that, like abortion, you know, for whatever reason, we just go ahead and take that life and not value it much. But, you know, typically with, even with like punishment, you think of capital punishment and the ways that has changed over the years. We're much more careful to do things in humane ways. Mm. Again, I'm speaking really generally here, as a culture than we used to be. The Old Testament and the Bible are really a lot more comfortable with death. And it's probably, you know, again, wise for us to grow in our comfort level. God determined in his law to his people that there were certain actions that would receive as their due punishment the death sentence. And that can be tricky at times. In fact, sometimes you're reading it, you're like, oh man, that does not seem that serious to me. You know, I wonder if I would have been accused and convicted of that, right? And there were safeguards in place to make sure that those things were fair. But understand that Solomon is saying, hey, there is a time when the death penalty can be levied for a serious crime. There's also a time to go to war. And we'll talk about that again in verse 8. There's a time when taking life is the only right recourse for what's going on. But there's also a time when we need to heal, right? And where taking life is not the answer, but instead working for the healing and upbuilding is a better approach. There's a time to tear down and a time to build. Again, continuing on kind of that destruction versus reconstruction philosophy. And we see that all the time in city revitalization and things like that. You see old buildings that have to come down because they're structurally unsafe, and then new buildings get built. Again, it's the cycle of human existence. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, verse 4, and then a time to mourn and a time to dance. Those kind of go together, that sometimes life brings great sadness and other times life brings great, madness, I guess, or downness, right? It can take us to the depths of despair, and then it can also elevate us to the heights of happiness, so to speak.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's possible to get trapped in that time to weep, mm-hmm. and it's almost like I'm trapped here and I can't get out.
Right.
And so to be able to have the permission to go, okay, well, there is a time to laugh. Mm. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. Mm-hmm. So that time, we have to stay stuck in one of those.
That's it. Yeah. So, and he wants to emphasize that, I really think, because you, like, if your life is characterized entirely by weeping and mourning and complaining, then you're missing some of the beauty of life, right? And undoubtedly, people have gone through harsh struggles. But isn't it odd that some of those people, especially those that know Jesus and have turned their life over to him, can sometimes have greater joy than even those of us who have had lives, characterized a little bit more by less suffering? So it has less to do with the circumstances of life and more to do with the condition of your heart.
It almost seems like, because there's some emotion that is being addressed here.
Yep, and it's for
almost
sure.
Like the writer here is giving us almost permission that God created us with emotions.
Yep.
And it's okay.
Yep.
And we don't have to be compartmentalized in just one.
That's good.
But it's okay to experience the spans
yes.
Of the emotions, that we are emotional beings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't be afraid of it.
Yeah. God gave those to us. He designed them, and he designed them for our good and for his glory. Feelings are important. Mm. They just don't make for good drivers or pilots. No, that's exactly. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so that's important for us to remember. They will. Yeah. Yeah. They are not always right. And so it's important for us to evaluate them. Mm. I think we can get stuck on either side of that one, too. A lot of times today in our contemporary culture, we avoid sadness like it's the plague, and we don't need to do that. Great sermon a month ago or so on lamenting, right, and the importance of faithfully complaining in sadness before the Lord. But we also don't need to get stuck in sadness and weeping and downness. There's a time to dance. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to enjoy the beauty of life. I think of wedding celebrations or of new life that comes through birth, right? That's a time to celebrate and a time to be excited and a time to rejoice at the beautiful things in life.
Yep.
Verses 5.
This will be interesting.
Oh man, here we go. So verse 5, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. Now, I didn't think I was going to say this, but then I remembered that the curriculum is what we give you as life group leaders. And in your curriculum commentary, there's actually a weird take on a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. And that is that rabbinical tradition, the tradition of the rabbis, holds that this was actually a euphemism for either participating in or abstaining from sexual activity. So there you go. Throw in stones and gathering stones. Now, I don't think it has to mean that. Other interpreters have taken it different ways. What's happening here is there is some confusion about how to take the Hebrew that's going on. And in the second part of verse 5, the couplet, the corresponding line, it's a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing. So it has to do with relationship connection and that kind of thing. So it certainly could mean that, and I think that's fair. At the same time, Solomon also could be stepping out of that subject briefly and then entering back into it. These lines don't have to be connected. And if that's the case, then you can think of this as just like, as tearing down or as building up and continuing with that, right? Or even as another ode to what happens in wartime, right? You think of slings that throw rocks or catapults that throw big rocks in order to take down walls. And then you think of gathering stones and putting them together as the building process, right? So this could be talking about labor. It could be talking about war. Or I suppose if the rabbis are right, it could be talking about sexual activity. At the end of the day, only the Lord truly knows, and we'll find out one day.
Yes.
There is a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing. Sometimes, man, we get along well and we're friends and we need to hold on to each other. Other times...
We need some space.
We need some space, yeah. And even I was about to say, just like Paul and Barnabas in the New Testament, their disagreement was so sharp that they had to part company. They were still brothers in Christ, and they knew that well.
Sure.
And there's even some reconciliation that goes on later in the story. But in order for the gospel to go forward, they needed to get their space, as Matt just said.
That's okay.
It is. In verse 6, a time to search and a time to count as lost. Man, if you can't connect with this, then you and I can probably not be friends. I, especially in my younger days, my mom called me the absent-minded professor because sure. I was smart, but man, I would set something down, walk away from it, and it was gone to my memory. I had no idea. I had no idea where it had gone.
Vanished.
We've all lost our keys. Sure. You know, that's a common human experience, especially in the moments when we're rushed and we need them in yes. a hurry. And Solomon's saying here, hey, there's a time to look for things. And then there's a time to say, hey, I think it's gone forever. Go ahead and hop on Amazon, order a new pair.
In the move, because you know,
oh yes. Moving, yep.
We put the TV up and we can't find the remote. Mm. Still can't find it.
There it is.
Yes.
Eventually, there may come a moment, Pastor Matt, mm-hmm. when you just have to get a new remote.
Oh, it's already been.
Oh, okay, great. Well, you know what's going to happen when it gets there.
Exactly.
The old remote's going to turn up.
So, there's no doubt.
Yep. Just had one of those experiences here recently. There's a time to tear and a time to sew. Our clothes wear out. Sometimes they can be patched. Other times, it's time to tear them up and use them for garage rags, you know?
Yes.
Certainly there is. This is a good example, by the way, in verse 7 of two of these that are not necessarily connected, right? A couplet that's not connected. So tear and sow, and then be silent and a time to speak, right? Mm-hmm. So just again, to give that example of what I said a little bit earlier, not always are the two lines connected to each other. Mm-hmm. A time to be silent and a time to speak, though. You know, Proverbs is filled with the wisdom. What's that saying that we have as far as better to be a silent fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yep. We've got to remember that. James capitalizes on this, right? Let all of us be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry.
No, quick, slow, slow.
That's it. Yep. So there are times for those things. There's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time to peace, at least a gentle connection there. Remember in Hebrew, this is really important while we walk through Ecclesiastes, and this applies to the New Testament as well. The word hate is not necessarily like we think of it in English where it's like, oh, I hate you, you know, like these feelings of just absolute passion against you. I want you to be destroyed, you know, all that kind of thing. Hate in the Bible is much more like rejection, right? So whereas love corresponds to choosing something or someone, you know, hate corresponds to rejecting or turning away from someone. So you read hate there and you're like, well, wait, didn't Jesus tell us to even love our enemies? And aren't we supposed to love everybody? Again, there's a time to love in the sense that you're going to choose, right? And then to hate in the sense of you're going to reject. So I think of this maybe marriage as a helpful analogy. When you love the woman that you're going to marry, in Matt and I's case, you choose her. Mm. And by definition, that means you must hate any attraction toward someone who could threaten that marriage. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So it's a rejection. I don't have to hate other people or other sisters in Christ, certainly, but I reject any kind of feeling that would intrude on the choosing that I have done for my wife, Kaylee. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Hopefully it's helpful. And then last, he closes it with a time for war and a time for peace. Man, our society thinks that it loves peace, but as we know and history has taught us, friends, there's a time when the good side in the world has to rise up and say, evil is spreading, and it is spreading too quickly, and if good men sit around and do nothing, then eventually we'll all be conquered. And so there is a time for us to rise up and to go to war.
So at Scripture is very clear about we as Christ followers are to be disciple makers, right? There's no confusion in Scripture about that. So if we think about, so we're to be disciple makers. So what is a disciple? At Liberty, we've defined some identities that we find in Scripture or roles. We call them measures, marks of a disciple. And one of those measures of a disciple is a child who knows God. And so as a believer, as a child of the King, it's important how we spend our time.
Yep.
The way that we spend our time matters. And as we look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, specifically in verse 17, reminds us that God will judge the way that we invest the time that we have. And look, we have a measured amount of time.
Yeah,
wow,
that's it. Yeah, wow.
And we don't know how much time that is. We don't. God knows that, but we are responsible for how we spend that time.
That's it.
So let's not waste our time. As a child of the King, let's be guilty. We're gonna spend our time. Let's be guilty of gladly spending our time in a way that honors the King.
That's good.
So as you think as a life group leaders, you walk through this passage, you work through those first eight verses, what a great time to just shine a light on this measure moment and say, as children of the King, let's be guilty of measuring our time out well.
That's great. So,
yeah,
that's really great. Well, let's close it up and summarize it. That's what Solomon does in verses 9 through 13. He's going to say a couple things that are really important for us. In verse 11, kind of that bookend moment that I talked about a moment ago, that God has made everything appropriate or beautiful or pleasing in its time. I think maybe if there's like one thing that you can kind of walk away with from this passage, it should press into your heart the need to be diligent in constantly asking yourself the question, what time is it? What time is it? Right? And I don't mean that you should answer that with some digits, so 3:04.
I don't have to look at my watch.
You don't have to look at your watch.
My cell phone.
Or your cell phone. What time is it? Is it time to plant or is it time to uproot? Okay. Is it time to work? Or is it time to rest? Is it time to prioritize my relationship with my spouse? Is it time to prioritize my relationship with my children? Is it time for us to pursue things that will benefit our kids in this life? Or is it time to pursue things that will benefit our kids in the next life, the life to come? Always asking yourself the question, what time is it, will help you be alongside of the Lord in knowing what time, let me say that differently, what activity is appropriate in this time? Yeah. What activity is appropriate in this time? Yeah.
So the way we spend our time matters.
That's it. Solomon says that God has put eternity in our hearts. That's a really confusing passage. In fact, if you have footnotes in your Bible, then it will probably give you a couple of different options. But it's a really translated the way that it is impactful to us. Essentially, Solomon is saying God has placed the concept of time inside human hearts. They study history and they anticipate the future. What he's encouraging us to is study far enough in the history that you know where this thing all began, that it started with a creator God, and anticipate far enough into the future that you know where this thing is going to end. Remember that God is going to bring every act, whether good or evil, into judgment. And so it's wise for us to remember our creator. He closes with these reminders that there's nothing better for us to do than to rejoice and enjoy the good life. It's the gift of God whenever anyone eats, drinks, and enjoys all of his efforts. So remember, friends, it's easy for us to get caught up in being intentional, and that's a good thing. We probably need more intentionality in our lives, not less. But at the same time, remember that God has given you the breeze on a hot day. He's given you the children when their hearts are in a good place and there's fun to be had. He's given you the dance floor when the time is right in a marriage or a celebration. Enjoy it and soak it up. He's given you good food to eat and good drinks to drink. And when he does, enjoy it because it's for you. And these are the things that are going to help you connect with your Creator to say, man, Lord, life is hard. Sometimes it feels meaningless, but it's also beautiful. And you have made some really good things in this world for us to participate in.
That's cool. Good. Good. Well, I appreciate you, Brian, walking through that passage of Scripture. Let's look real quick before we hit some announcements. Take a glance at the Live It Out for this coming week.
So there are two, and we'll go through them quickly. One of them connects with our Chapter a Day initiative for this year that we're trying to get everybody to be in God's Word on a daily basis. And so it's just a check-in. If you've not begun to do Chapter a Day with us, then use this week to implement it into your daily walk with the Lord.
Yeah, about once every 8 weeks, we're going to ask you guys as life group leaders to touch base with your group to say, hey, how's it going? And I think it's very helpful for you just to be, hopefully you guys have signed up and are walking down this path of the Chapter a Day. We'd hope for that's what we're asking our leaders to do, and for you to just be, hey, look, this is where I am. In honesty and just straight up, hey, this is where I am. Maybe you're winning. Mm-hmm. And you're like waiting for the next day to roll around.
Going great.
Or maybe you're like I am and you're 7 days behind. Like I think we did this 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was 6 days behind.
Yep.
Now I'm 7 days
another
behind.
Day.
But I'm still rocking on, man. And I'm going to catch up eventually. But so, yeah.
That's good. The second one relates to our lesson for the day. How will you be more intentional about spending your time this week? Again, ask that question. What time is this? What time is it? What am I supposed to be doing right now?
Let's be sure to keep these Live It Outs, the application of Scripture in front of our leader, in front of our groups. And then let me just give you this another reminder and encouragement that sometime in the middle of the week, reach out, touch base with your group, and that reminder of those Live It Outs. We forget those things so easy. And so if you could give that middle of the week reminder would be a good thing as well. So.
Matt, they say that preparation as a preacher is what brings clarity and brevity. So hopefully we've hit the clarity piece. I don't know that I hit the brevity piece today, so that's why I needed more preparation. But we do have one announcement that we want to give before we close out, and that's that on Sunday, May the 5th, this coming Sunday, from when you listen to this podcast, we will be voting as a church on whether or not to embrace the replant strategy and relationship with Southside Baptist Church in Alabaster. This is a huge moment in the life of our church. So life group leaders, be there on May the 5th. Cast your vote. Let your voice be heard and encourage your group members to do the same.
It's good. Thank you so much for, in short notice, stepping up to the plate to walk us through this passage.
My joy.
Leaders, thank you for being a part of the podcast, and we will see you on Sunday.